This is Randy Wageman interviewing Jim Wageman on May 28, 2001 about his life in Hillsborough during the Vietnam War. Okay, how old were you at the time of the war?
Well, it was the early late 60s, early 70s, late 69 or so we moved out here from South Dakota. First grade being a good old Boy Scout, or tried to be a Cub Scout when I moved out here, so it's the early 70s that out here in Oregon that we were, so that would be second grade-ish, so.
Okay, now, you were out here, and was there like any different, is there any kind of difference between living out here and back there in relation to the war?
Probably at my age level, probably not, but I'd expect, well, we were in Minneapolis, which is a pretty good sized town, similar to maybe Portland, but, you know, I was just young enough, I wasn't as aware of it as I might have been.
How about, like, people's response, like the people in the Midwest compared to the people out here?
I don't know if there's a difference in response from what I saw. I would expect a little bit just from when we were back there before and during the Gulf War and the way people versus now. A little more countryside kind of there on an average than you do out here. Here you have a little more liberal view on things.
Okay. What kind of commercials did you see on TV? Do you remember?
Commercials. Kid, I was probably looking for candy commercials myself, and
okay. So you were in Boy Scouts, right?
Yeah, at that time it was starting in the Cub Scout side and going up into Boy Scouts.
Okay. Did they do anything special in related to the war?
No, there's nothing that I recall. It's just your standard Cub Scout stuff, doing your earning your little badge things and doing little car races and selling candy and things like that. There's no real representation towards any military sort of perspective.
Did your fellow members in the Cub Scouts talk about the war at all?
No, not that I recall.
Okay. Did your Cub Scout leaders talk about it at all?
No, most of what I heard came in later in life as to talking to people who had been through it.
Okay. At school, did your friends talk about it much?
No, it was, I guess, probably because we were on the younger side, just talking about, you know, watching things on TV and recess and those that were in Cub Scouts, going to Cub Scouts and doing the next whatever event it was.
Did your teachers say anything about the war?
Not that I can really recall this time. It's interesting. I can look back now, and sometimes I remember some of the news clips, but a little bit of talk about it. But in our family and my life, there wasn't a whole lot of representation on it at that time.
So, what school did you go to?
When I moved out here, I went to Fort Grove Elementary for a year, then went to Merle Davis, and then ended up going into the Hillsborough system, and at that point moved to Reedville by the third grade, Reedville School District.
Did you see many people protesting at all?
No, I think I saw a couple news clips about some of that, but that was about it. You know, a little bit on the news about, you know, this going on in the war or some protest, but didn't really seem to faze me at the time.
What do you remember about those protests or the news clips?
Being a kid that age is like a waste of TV time.
Um, Do you know what kind of music people were listening to back then?
My parents were still listening to Lawrence Welk. The rest of us were listening to the bubblegum rock of the time. I don't think it was necessarily the what you hear portrayed now as the real hardcore rock and roll stuff. Stuff with Jimi Hendrix we weren't listening to. We weren't listening to, The Doors or anything like that.
What was the hair like?
Well, we were all wearing it longer. That's for sure. I was then.
Was this pretty constant throughout the war, or was there a change at all?
Yeah, it's like it was a time of life where people, wore the bell bottoms, wilder clothes. You had the longer hair and a style. I don't think I've necessarily seen totally come back from the same perspective. I've seen bits and pieces of it.
Was there much of this before the war?
No, at least not from what I saw. Maybe it's because we were a little more Midwest before the war, the early parts, and wore the clothes that weren't so bright, without bell bottoms, had the close cut haircuts from mom and grandma, and wore suits and stuff like that.
Do you remember much about the race and feminist issues back then, about the same time as the war?
Faintly a little bit. I mean, maybe out here there wasn't as much as it would have been if you down south about the racism and stuff. Here in the Midwest, there's not, well, in the Midwest especially, there's not as much of a mixture from where we were at that I recall. Out here there's a little bit more, but not maybe as much as you seem to see the strongest percentage of it when you're in the Afro-American culture, and there's not as the high intensity here as you have other areas. Feminism was something that was always there, and the girls wore the dresses, the girls had their so-called more of a traditional outline or place in life and style than they do now. Never thought about one being a flagger back then, or working construction, things like that.
Do you feel like these impacted school life more than the war did?
Yeah. The war was kind of, in some ways, at least from my perspective as a kid at that point, not really heavily involved. It was more ignored than addressed. It was more being good boys and girls, and in the roles designed at that time that boys should be and girls should be.
Did you know anybody that actually refused the draft?
Nope. No one that I'm aware of.
Anyone that enlisted voluntarily?
No, not that either.
How were people, the vets, treated when I got home, or came home?
Well, based on what you always hear about World War I and II, it's like it ended. I remember seeing that on the news stuff, and it was done, but I wasn't aware of anything special occurring for anybody having been in the war in any way, or not that war.
What was your family life like?
Well, we had a stay-at-home mom for the most part, other than her running little Avon on the side. Dad worked multiple jobs because there was four of us kids, and it took quite a bit to keep all of us going. And so it was, Dad worked a lot, and Mom tried to keep us up, and we all had a series of chores that we had to do and take care of things and learn some responsibility about whether it was animals or vehicles or whatever it was, or household, we took care of it.
Did your brothers and sister have much, did they have much of an opinion on the war?
No, that's interesting. I didn't think about it before now, but we never really we saw news clips about what was current event going on there, but we never talked about it around the house. We never talked about it with as kids or with parents, and just kind of ignores just another event that happened.
So was there any place really that you ever talked about the war?
Not as a kid. Later, when I met people that had been in the war, whether it was friends or coworkers who had actually been through it, or people I worked with, and they hear helicopters, oh, it sound like this such type of a Huey or this sort of plane, and then they would sometimes digress a little bit, and they'd talk a little about it and learn more that way and about the war than I ever did from actually watching the news or being there at that time.
So, do you feel like you had the war really affected your life much back then?
No. I mean, you heard about it, but it never... Was it more of a daily thing that you just kind of ignored than anything? It's almost like Hussam was saying today. It's like we just kind of ignore him and his existence, short of when something really occurs. The rest of us don't talk about them, we don't deal with them. And
is there anything else you'd like to say about it back then?
Not back then, I guess. Probably because maybe it was young enough, and the way it was presented and where I was around, it wasn't a issue that really was talked about or dealt with or even paid a lot of attention to. Later, you know, watching some of the Discovery Channel things, learning some things, most of it was from people I'd worked with, whether it was, you know, what the war was like and what they had to go through and how they felt like they weren't, they weren't respected for what they did over there. And a lot of them were people that weren't volunteers but were drafted, so they had no choice and yet to come back and not be respected. Stories about, you know, just the awful things that were done, but not even being able to, you know, just change it. Everything's a booby trap. Everything's an issue. You couldn't go pick up a baby you saw laying in the road because it was probably booby trapped. And you know, one guy I knew, he was a Marine guy, and my friend's dad, he said, you know, his whole time was spent was jumping out of helicopters with people, just machine gunning the heck out of out of the front of it, so the guys can get off and start the process and jump back in and go. And that was his whole process and perspective, never knowing if he had killed anybody or hurt anybody. But then another guy I knew would, you know, he talked about this and this, and he had little flashbacks. And you know, one of the big things that, you know, they'd always tried to be careful. One time they came around the corner and one of the Vietnamese guys jumped out with a bazooka at them, and the only time he ever froze, and he froze and went right past him and just blew up far enough where he didn't kill him, but threw him for a loop and threw him off. And to this day it was something that seems to throw him off a bit. And then I know another guy who had been out there, and he had pictures of, you know, those that they caught and hung. I mean, it seems very grotesque and coarse, but it's what they did. And I think he was more of a guy that got into some of the drugs on that side of things too. And so in order to survive with the culture that's totally different from using babies and kids and everything to blow you up, it really mentally destroyed us from a good, clean family life type of culture to something that everything's used for the advancement of some sort of political, social, or gain of some way.
When did you hear these stories?
I heard them, most of them. One guy must have been 18, 19, was the one that maybe got into the drug side and talked about the, you know, having pictures of the ones he hung and how ugly it was over there and just surviving to get through. And then probably about 15 years ago or so, when I was heard the guy with the bazooka and talked about you know, the babies and how you couldn't trust anything from anybody. You couldn't even tell, so to speak, the good Vietnamese and the bad Vietnamese. It was such a tough thing to deal with. One of the things that was interesting with him is that he found out that he had taken some karate class that allowed him to take some anguish out from the past, where normally in a perspective like that, they don't desire that sort of physical sort of response to getting this stuff out, because it's more like it's going with it than it is going against it. the other guys were more guys I worked when I worked through high school and or through college for going to school, and they talked about hearing things. Like one guy was on the coast when the Coast Guard helicopter would go over, he would hear and say some of this, and another guy, another restaurant, did that. So that was probably more like 18, 19 years ago that those guys were there.
When did you? How long have you known these people?
The guys in the restaurants are ones I've probably known, you know, anywhere from a couple months to maybe 6 months to a year at the most.
Was that right before you heard the stories?
Probably most time you knew them for, you know, restaurant guys, you knew probably for about a month, but you'd maybe hear some of the stories when they would talk. The earlier guy, when I was 18 or so, was kind of like a family friend that we'd known for quite a while before, and he talked a little bit. And then the last guy, somebody I worked with day in, day out, and it was like 6 months or so, and I think I just had asked him what it was like, because I had heard various stories before, and he gave all different, perspective, maybe a little more compassion to it, more of a, because the other guys seemed to be a little rough and stuff. He was more of a good family guy, and it's like, you know, really giving a what I call the most truest perspective of what it was like. He wasn't into the drugs, wasn't into this. He was just trying to be out there and survive and get back.